Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's Carolla Classics is brought to you by Geico. Because if you own or rent your home, which is a lot of you, let's make it a little bit better by bundling those policies with Geico. And by a little bit, I mean a lot better. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's so easy. All you have to do is go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is this?
It's Geico easy.
Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for January 30th, 2021. You know how the show goes. We're going to play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show over the 12 plus years, almost 3,000 episodes of podcasts. We've got a great show lined up. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
2,986 episodes so far.
Woo!
The 3,000th is going to come in just like a week or a few days before the 12-year anniversary show.
We got to celebrate, and I can't wait.
You have to celebrate both first, things, like your birthday's near Christmas, and you're going to be very hungover.
I know. We got some ragers coming up. But first, let's play some clips over the history of the Adam Carolla Show. And earlier this week, Adam did a whole segment about the Bee Gees documentary that he watched on HBO, and I loved it. I love whenever he talks about music, and it was kind of a little bit of a history lesson, too. But I remember when we were doing show prep, he gave me a call, and all he asked was, is Steve Dahl still alive? And I looked it up. This is a Chicago radio DJ, Steve Dahl. Yeah, we won't. And I said, yeah, he's very much alive, even as a podcast now. And Adam was like, we got to talk about Steve Dahl because he was a big part of that Bee Gees documentary. And they did. But that isn't the first time we talked about Steve Dahl, is it?
It's not at all, actually. This isn't the first either, but we'll get into everything Steve Dahl and Adam Carolla in a minute. This is Adam Carolla Show 1499. Maz Jobrani was just on this week. David Wilde, Kristen Carney, Brian Bishop. It's from January of 2015. And this is a quick little chunk where they discuss Steve and Disco Demolition and all the stuff that Adam got into this past week. Let's check this out, and we'll come back, and we'll talk more Steve Dahl.
Maz Jobrani in studio. I'm not a terrorist, but I played one on TV, available February 17th. That's on Amazon. You can pre-order now. Just click through adamcarolla.com, put a little sale or win in the sales of the pirate ship. Good to see you, Maz.
Good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Valentine's Day gift.
I know. That's what it's all about. It's about love.
I'm looking down your list of accomplishments here. Born in Tehran. But
that was a big accomplishment there.
But graduated UC Berkeley.
Yeah, baby.
How'd that whole pilgrimage work?
You know, so I was born in Iran, and then this little thing happened called the revolution.
Yeah.
And we had to leave because of that. And then we moved to Tehran, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So I always jokingly, I say I went from Mercedes-Benz to Mercedes-Benz, basically.
Yeah. Tehran's beautiful.
Tehran is beautiful. It's amazing. It was very idyllic. Like, the biggest crime was, like, literally the cops would pull over skateboarders.
Yeah. Now, that's on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge,
yes,
essentially?
Yes, we had a great view of the bridge, and it was amazing.
Every time I cross over that bridge and just sort of go to the old battery where they used to have the old cannons and stuff over there, it's, and the wind's blowing there. Yeah, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, they got a place called Sam's Anchor Cafe in downtown Tehran, where that's where people would go. You hang out on the porch there, and you whatever you call it, the patio, and you get a view of the bay. You eat out there, and it's a cool, cool place.
I would have assumed that Tehran was just another country in the Middle East when you said that.
Yeah, kinda.
I would have thought that's what it was.
Well, is it Tehran?
Tehran, like shark in Spanish.
Right, but you say it's sort of Tehran.
Tehran. We didn't. Growing up, they didn't make us emphasize the U.
The
Tehran. It wasn't Tehran. I am from Tehran. Yeah, there weren't a lot of Mexicans there, so we didn't have to say Tehran. There were a lot of white people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. My friends were Jesse and Brett.
Congratulations.
I'm not kidding. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I had arrived.
And how did it work? Because I remember the whole thing going on with the Ayatollah and the Shah and all that kind of stuff back in the day.
Well, it was funny because back then, so I was in the fourth grade, and I actually talk about this in the book, and I'm in the fourth grade, and I obviously had nothing to do with the hostage crisis.
Mm-hmm. Or did you?
Well, okay.
Well, what would he say to Brett and Jesse at Tiburon?
That's right. What any fourth grader would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm admitting it now after 30 years, 40, whatever it is. But no, there was a kid back then. So back then what they would call you is they'd call you a fucking Iranian. That mm-hmm. was the curse word. Mm-hmm. And so there was a sixth grader who I guess because there wasn't that many Iranian kids. There was like three or four of us. Mm-hmm. And two of them, one of them was my aunt, who was 2 years older than me in the school. Mm-hmm. So they'd already picked on her and her friend Sharona. And that's when that song, ma-ma-ma-ma, Sharona, that was out, right?
Sure. No,
so
wow.
They'd get them with that. And then Jim started calling me a fucking Iranian. And I was like, dude, what the hell? But then what's interesting is years later, I used to do stand-up and talk about this guy. And I would say his name on the stage, mm-hmm. and I would tell people this guy was an asshole, and I would say spread
sure.
it to the world.
Right.
And I felt bad after all. I was like, maybe the guy's a nice guy. I don't know. And then one day I'm listening to Jimmy Fallon talk about the woman that he married, and he ends up marrying Jim's sister.
Wow.
Really?
The crazy – because the
How
last
did
name –
How you divine that?
The last name is Javonin.
Oh.
So I'm listening to Fallon talk, and he was on Terry Gross, and she goes, you know, you did these movies. They didn't work out. Anything good come out of it? He goes, I met my wife.
Watch what you say about Taxi.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a film. That wasn't a movie.
Yeah. So she said, so he goes, yeah, I married Nancy Javonin. And my jaw dropped. I was like, what are the chances? How many Javonins are there out there?
You know what about her? I made her flip-flops before. Like actual shoes. Yes, thank you. I'm very accomplished.
Was she
in my
nice?
Comedy
I'm sure
career.
She's nice. Did she call you a fucking Iranian?
She was incredibly nice.
No, okay.
No, she said, fucking American.
Oh, yeah,
you're
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
glad you're American.
The thing that's crazy is when you were talking about this and you brought up my Sharona, I was thinking before that, there was a Dr. Demento song to the tune of My Sharona called Ayatollah.
Oh, we have a clip.
Oh, is that right?
Dun 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 dun. Add Corolla.
That's what they would say when I was in high school.
Hilarious.
But no, you can find a Dr. Demento song called Ayatollah.
I'm sure.
And I was writing that down and thinking that before you brought
Hilarious.
Up My Sharona.
Yeah, so we had My Sharona, which was Ayatollah, as you're saying.
Right.
We also had I ran so far.
Right.
Dude, it was horrible. And what's crazy is I grow out of fucking Iranian. I get past I ran so far away. Then I'm like in college or like late high school, and the movie Not Without My Daughter comes out.
Oh, yeah.
That was the worst movie for me.
Sally Fields?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because it was a movie about a woman who married an Iranian guy, and then he grabbed the kid and went back to Iran. Or Iran or whatever. Are we on NPR or are we on Fox?
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
He took her back and then Sally had to get her back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what was
and
crazy.
Then a dingo.
Well, no. If you
took the kid.
Well, what's if
I
you?
Think.
Yeah, if
I
you
was pretty high.
If you watch the film at the beginning, they're in America. They're in Michigan. And the guy's name is Mahmoud. Mm-hmm. Also, his nickname is Moody.
Uh-huh.
Which is very funny because once he goes to Iran, in America, he's a nice guy. And he goes to Iran, he becomes very moody.
Yes.
And he changes. And he's like, he won't let them leave. And anyway, long story short, and in all seriousness, like a lot of my buddies stopped saying they're Iranian. They just became Italian because women didn't want to talk to Persian dudes at that point because of that movie.
Right,
so
right.
So it was like one thing after the next.
Yeah.
His name was like Killian.
Yeah. A lot of cock blocks the coals to overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of obstacles to your getting laid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd
definitely go with the Paisan over the Iranian in that time.
Oh, hell yeah. Of course. You kidding
still.
Me?
And Sally Fields.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you still probably got a better shot.
Definitely.
Yeah, Kristen's pants and panties.
Or the
I'm
word,
a fan of the Italians, or, but Iranians. Like,
well, Iranians also say Persian, and some people don't even know what that is. That'll get you into some pants because they think you're Parisian and you're French.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Right.
Well, look, whatever it takes to get laid. I found that song. It's a crazy song. Brian's looking for it.
Let's see if this is it.
It's got to be.
a real nice
there
day.
It is. You know it really caught on my eye.
1971. Your mind is weird. You really are a nutty kind of guy, Ayatollah. Come on, give us back all the people at the embassy. Shaw's in New York and he's
fucking Iranian.
He's already gonna die, Ayatollah.
This is credited as Steve Dahl and Teenage Radiation. That's where it started on YouTube.
Yeah, Steve Dahl's a big radio guy.
I'm about 9 years old at this time.
We know you're gonna eat him on Ayatollah.
That's a rage.
To make our gas. You know you're such a pain in the Ayatollah. Come on, cool your jets. Meditate. Eat a hamburger. Don't get us too upset or we'll do something nuclear. Bye, Ayatollah.
Oh, thank Christ for Dr.
Ayatollah.
Yeah.
That's
good stuff.
That's us bombing Iran.
Yeah.
Fantastic. There go some cousins and relatives.
Yeah, it really shaped a lot. Dr. Demento really shaped a lot of my political views back then.
That's right.
I learned more about that part of the world from that song than all the world news reports combined.
You're like, they got oil? Shit.
Yeah, we should bomb them.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we do a little news? Well, now, how do you get from Berkeley to doing stand-up then?
So then what happened was I became a big fan of Eddie Murphy's when Delirious came out. And
sure.
I was like, that's what I want to be.
All the Italian guys worship that guy.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, that bit about, hey, fucking moolies.
Right.
But having immigrant parents, my parents were like, no, you should be a lawyer or a doctor.
Right.
So that's why I ended up at Cal. Studying poli sci to maybe
Can I
be a
say
lawyer.
This?
Yeah.
I wish I had immigrant parents. Because immigrant parents have dreams for their kids. My parents' dream was for me to get the fuck out of my dad's house in North Hollywood and get busy doing I don't know what.
Yeah.
Just get, like, it takes a couple of generations for the bloom to wear off the rose or something. Because my parents just sort of sat around like, what are your dreams for your daughter and your son? Who?
Yeah.
Your daughter and your son. Get out of my stepmom's grill and just kind of hit the road. Like, first generation, like, my son,
yeah,
he'll be a doctor. My daughter, she'll be a lawyer. Yeah. She'll be on the Supreme Court one day. You know, my dad was like, get the fuck out of the house and get a job. I don't care what you do.
Well, but you know, but there's good and bad. Because on the other hand, like, I don't know what your experience was, but you could probably – I know a lot of guys that went to the parents and they're like, I want to be an actor. I want to go do whatever. And they're like, whatever, get out of here. Like you say, get the hell out. Whereas for me – it was like, first of all, a lot of immigrant parents, they go stay home until you do this.
Uh-huh.
So you end up with like 40-year-old dudes still at home.
Right, right. Well, you know, you Italian guys, I mean, you never leave the house. Mama's doing the laundry and you're in your 40s.
Why leave?
I found a gray pube in your underpants, son.
It's the pasta. You got to stay home. How you doing,
it's mama? Angel hair.
Hey, angel hair. Hey, mama.
Oh. Yeah. No, I had the same problem. Like, I'd be like, Dad, I want to be a comedian. Why are you telling me?
Yeah.
Why give a shit?
Why are you not walking in that direction?
Yes. You should be getting a one-bedroom with three dudes and a futon right now. What are we talking about this for?
My mom went from, like, be a lawyer, and then I would be like, look, I want to be a performer, I want to be a comedian. I'm not kidding. She'd be like, okay, just become a lawyer, and then you can do comedy on the weekends.
I know. First off, that whole thing of, like, just become an astronaut so you have something to fall back on. Like, well, then you understand that's a calorie burner, Mom. It's going to take a while.
And then you fall.
I'm going to be a Cape Canaveral. I'm not going to get a lot of stage time if I'm over there. I know. That's the whole thing. It's just become an oncologist, and then you'll have something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it, but that's a lot of work.
And it's funny because I actually broke them down. So first, I was going to be a lawyer. Then I actually went to Italy and studied abroad for 1 year. I really got into this Italian.
No shit.
I really got into it. I studied abroad for a year, and I fell in love with what this professor was doing. I was like, that's what I'll do. I'll be a professor. That way I can be in front of people. And it's something that, like, the community, because that's not the reason my mom, half the reason she wanted me to be a lawyer was so the community would be happy.
Right.
I don't know who these people are.
The three other Iranians in Tiburon.
Exactly.
One who wasn't related to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? She was worried about going to the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to run into the one Iranian guy in Tiburon that was going to look down his nose.
We'd moved to L.A. by then, so they were all here.
Mm-hmm.
Being judged in Westwood all the time.
Yeah.
You know? But no, but then it was funny because then I came back home. I said, I want to be a professor. So then I ended up, I got into a PhD program at UCLA to get my PhD in political science. And my mom already was worried about the professor gig.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally decided I'm leaving the poli sci PhD to go pursue acting, she was so worried. She was like, okay, at least become a mechanic.
Wow.
I was like, where does that come
from? Negotiation point?
Yeah. She goes, because, you know, if a revolution were to happen, you could be a mechanic anywhere in the world. Because she's coming from a revolution. She's looking for backup jobs that'll work internationally.
We need to explain to the people of the world, we lead the nation in singing songs about revolutions. We don't actually have any. Yeah. We get it all out of our system with an acoustic guitar.
There you go. Yeah.
We have tons of revolution-based songs, but we don't actually do any.
Themed material. We're good for it.
It's a great theme, yeah, but we never actually...
T-shirts.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, when you come from a country where you had the revolution, then you have friends who were like... Like, we literally had friends who were, like, a major in Iran, and the guy was working at a gas station in America. Like that movie.
I heard the song on Dr. Domeno. Yeah. I think I know what the political climate was at the time.
Yeah, yeah. So they were worried. Like you could be – we had doctors. We had friends with doctors who came here and just, like, couldn't do anything because whatever, the whole language barrier, whatever. So they were worried, but in the end, I was able to just be like – I had to wake up and go, look, you live once, so I got to do what I want to do. And
all right.
I did it.
I'm going to ask you an honest question.
Yeah.
Did you ever have an Italian horn necklace?
I did not have the
horn
necklace.
All right.
I didn't go that far.
Really take this ruse.
Yeah, but I was watching. I mean, I was like Godfather, Goodfellas, any Italian movie that came out. You know, even Bronx Tale, I'm on it.
Sure. Bronx Tale's great.
Yeah. Bronx Tale is great. It's just it's not when it comes after Goodfellas.
True.
Yeah, it's one of
tough
those.
Tough act to follow. What's an Italian
things,
horn necklace?
But you know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
Gary will pull up a picture of the Italian horn necklace. Very popular, like in the 70s.
Okay.
With the Guidos, especially.
Hidden behind all the chest hair.
Yeah. It was like a gold chain with a. It was about an inch and a quarter. It was the opposite of the high.
You know what they gave us, actually? It's funny. You just reminded me because as a kid, we weren't religious, really. We were very secular coming from Iran, like leaving the revolution. We were actually very much against the government. I always say my family was like superstitious. Like my grandmother would be like, listen, if you're going to get in a car, if you say like the equivalent of like seven Hail Marys, the Muslim version,
right.
If there's an accident, you won't die. And I'm like, where does that come from? She's like, just trust me. And she used to gamble. She's like, whenever I go to the casino, seven Hail Marys, I win. I'm like, I don't think that's – but it was so – they used to give us these gold – there was a gold pendant that was – it was called an Allah, basically. It's like God.
Mm-hmm.
So they would give – so that would kind of out us. I mean, from a distance, it looked Italian. But if you came close and you saw a dude kind of like wearing a turban or something, you're like, or now, it said Allah.
Now it's just – the TSA guy pulls you out for pat down. That's all it does is slow you down going through Burbank now. Yeah. Gary, the Italian horn necklace should be right there. I don't know that they called it anything other than the Italian horn necklace. There it is, Brian. Look familiar to you?
That looks more Middle Eastern to me.
Yeah.
Than Italian.
Well, you're thinking of the crescent that comes with like some of the countries. The flags have a crescent.
Yes, I know the flags. Yes,
it is. Whatever it is, it was just called the Italian horn, and it was known at the time as the Italian horn. So it's like the guys would wear it. It was sort of like you didn't have to wear puka shells. You didn't have to play the ukulele to play or eat poi to rock some puka shells. Okay. And you didn't have to be Italian to rock the Italian horn.
Okay.
Did Tony Manero have one of those?
Tony Manero had a bevy of medallions around his neck. I'll bet you we could probably find one of Travolta rocking the Italian horn. I will do the news in 1 second. First, proflowers.com, Valentine's Day coming up. That's, I think, just as sort of a goof, my son, Sonny Santino Carolla. My wife got him the Italian horn.
Yeah, ciao bello,
just to look like one. We wear it in the San Gennaro feast. Hey, the prima notte. Hey.
And that was Maz Jobrani, along with Kristen and Brian, talking about Steve Dahl. But it doesn't stop there. No. Steve Dahl was actually on the Adam Carolla Show a little over a year later.
But you probably haven't heard it, as it was one of the live exclusives that you had to be a member of Podcast One Premium to hear. We're going to play for you in full over the weekend, starting with the first half right now. This is Adam Carolla Show 1910, Steve Dahl, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, live from the Vic in Chicago, Illinois. It's recorded in September of 2016, and it was released a few days later as a live show premium. This is new to you, most likely, and Steve joins them live on stage. Check it out.
Live from the Vic Theater in Chicago, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, Chicago radio legend Steve Dahl. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a Chicago-themed round of What Can't Adam Complain About? And now, back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago, Adam Carolla!
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you, Chicago. Great to be back at the Vic. Steve Dahl's with us tonight.
Hi, everybody.
Disco Demolition, The Night Disco Died. It's a book. It is available now on Amazon, and we'll get into that in a second or two.
Thank you.
Yeah, Gina Grad over here.
Hello.
Bald Brian. All right, a couple things to bitch about before we get started here. Had this, so Mike August and I were doing a show. I did a show in Cincinnati last night, and then we're hustling out today.
Boo,
and,
Cincinnati. Do we hate Cincinnati here?
Cincinnati, yeah. The Bengals. Yeah. The deviled eggs. Oh, the deviled eggs. Deviled
delicious.
Disaster. Fucking disaster.
It was a gift. It was a gift.
All right. I'll get into deviled eggs. I'll get into that. But tell me this. All right. This person, if this fucking person is cropping up in your life way more than is necessary, which is Mike and I got to the airport. We had a 3 o'clock flight. We had plenty of time to spare. We sat down at a sports bar. We watched a little college ball. We had a beer. It was a 3 o'clock flight. And at a certain point, about 2:37, we said, yeah, we ought to make it over to the plane and take our 54-minute flight over to Chi-Town. And we started walking over there. And by the time we got to the gate, there was 20 minutes before the flight left. And the cunty, perky chick in the front gave us the, you guys are the last ones on the flight, to which my answer is, good.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Hey, there's a fucking bus ride going to Nevada. You want to be first on? I want to be on after the fucking pilot is on, but you guys are last on. I said, yeah, oh, okay, well, there you go. Yeah, and then there's this one. I love that this is a threat. We almost closed the door. Imagine that working at home, like your wife going, I almost shut the front door. You would have had to move. Like, it's got fucking hinges on it. How about you just open it back up? It's like, hey, we were this close to shutting a door, a thing that is by nature, by definition, meant to open and close constantly throughout its lifetime, maybe hundreds of thousands of times.
It's really its only function.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we're about to weld close that door. We're just going to weld it shut.
I have a question.
So, yes.
This
wait,
one.
Wait, there's Ooh. More. Then this one. Then this one. Then this one. Yeah, so we had to do the, you can't be bitchy to the people because you'll get zip tied and pepper sprayed, not in that order. So I had to, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, we're all lucky. We're lucky to be here, gifted. I mean, blessed and gifted. So glad to be on the puddle jumper with the other folks. And then they do this one. We would have had to pull your luggage off of the flight. Like, now we're getting into this this imaginary world of negativity of what could have happened.
Right.
The consequences.
Hey, you could have had a stroke last night when you're beating off in the shower. Just saying. Like, what other imaginary negatives could there have happened? Yes, I get it. If I wasn't here,
Here's the irony. I wouldn't have to listen to your fucking soup cooler because I wouldn't be here. I'd rather just be drunk at the fucking sports bar.
Right.
Why am I being dressed down for a crime I didn't commit? You know what I mean? This is you putting out a cigarette, fucking doing this with your foot, and then pissing on it, and someone going, yeah, if you'd thrown it into that cabin with the thatched roof, it would have caught on fire. Yes. Yes, it would have. There's a family of retarded bears living in there. Yes, understood. Understood, but I didn't do that. Because I'm here, and I'm on the plane. So when does the fucking dressing down and the lecturing and... Well, all the overhead cabins are full now because, of course, as previously mentioned, you two were the last souls to get on this plane. Yeah, what the fuck is that, Steve? I'm sorry, Brian. Brian had something.
The question was, I was surprised this woman was both perky and cunty?
Perky and cunty.
That is a rare combination.
It's a rare TSA treat.
It's often one or the other.
Way, all the things that could have happened if we'd just shown up 22 minutes later, except for we never did. Mm-hmm. We checked ourselves onto the flight and showed up in a timely fashion. They did not shut the door, but they could have. Yeah. I'd like to fly like Western Airlines where they just had those saloon doors on there. Like, I could just come in at any point during the flight.
How y'all doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Here, there's a new stewardess in town. You know, this cabin ain't big enough for the two of us. Sorry, Steve.
Draw me a bath, woman.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Man, I
don't do that move where I take my hat and tip it down. That means I'm relaxing. Yeah. We also, this morning, had the best and the worst Uber in a two-hour period. Boy, the pendulum swung hard with the Uber. We got Ubered to the German food restaurant this afternoon in Cincinnati. My favorite dude in the world, I had to take a picture of it. It was me, Mike Lynch, and Mike August. He's the guy who's driving a small, compact vehicle, a very small, I think it was a Pontiac, Murano,
sure.
Potato, what was it? Moreno, yeah, there's a Vino. And this guy had the fucking seat. Gary, do you have the picture that I sent you of this guy?
Oh, no.
He drove the whole time like he was getting a shave in an old-time barber. Like, seat fully reclined.
Yeah.
Full gangster lean. But here's what I found. The car was already small. Mike Lynch was forced to perform oral on himself. I was forced. By law, I had to film it. It's up on the internet. But Mike's got his knees smashed up against the back of the seat. But the thing I loved about the dude is his shoulder blades never came within 14 inches of his fully reclined Buick seat, which is, this is the best of all worlds. Not only is everyone you pick up wildly uncomfortable behind you, but in the event of an accident, your seating position is 200 times more likely to kill you, and everyone is pissed off, and you're not even utilizing it.
Yep.
For the people at home, he and the seat are making a V.
Yes, he was sitting in an upright position. His seat was in full recline, and that's how we got to the schnitzel joint. Yes, there it is.
And
everybody,
he's not just upright; he's in a full hunch forward.
Yes, he's scoliosis. Rolled forward, but the seat is all the way back, which I get is a stylistic choice,
right?
But, dude, you're driving a $4,000 Buick, and you're driving my ass for Uber, so drop the fucking attitude. I mean, I feel it's the same way I feel about the fucking fake Rolexes and diamond-encrusted rims and all sorts of shit. If those rims are on a Camry, it's beige, and one of them has a Denver boot on it, I'm not going to mistake you for, like, a music mogul. But it was funny that it was fully... Don't they have a pamphlet when you drive for Uber that says shit like, have your seat not in a fully reclined position? Like, if you got head the night before in your Uber vehicle, A, always remember to bring the seat back to the upright position, and B, mum's the word. As a matter of fact, this is a tell.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming he got a blowjob from a cheap prostitute. Woo! Uber prostitutes.
Ooh, yeah.
Now
Uber.
Somebody write that shit down. So I know a lot of guys are in town, and they need it now, and they need it fast, and you don't have to wait, you know, for somebody with a, you know, who's been blessed by the city. Sorry.
Horber.
So he did not get a tip.
No.
I don't even know how tipping works with Uber. Yeah. The next guy we had was a fully buffed out, brand new A6 Audi.
Wow.
The guy was a pilot. He sold airplanes for a living and claimed that he wasn't interested in the money whatsoever, just enjoyed the conversation. Sold civilian aircraft. Yeah. And, by the way, how's this guy? He said his wife doesn't like it because he has a $65,000 car he just puts mileage on.
Right.
But he says he doesn't make any money because of the price of the car, but he simply does it for conversation. Isn't that a slap in the tits to your wife? Like, hey, man.
That's a real referendum on your marriage.
You know what I would rather do other than rot in this 3-bedroom with you and pictures of our grandkids? I'd rather risk a possible stabbing, making zero money, driving drunk people to either clubs or airports, rather than even have eye contact with you and your ever-sagging tits. I'll be out exceeding the mileage on the lease of the Audi A6 that we both pay for. Yeah. I'll be back, or maybe I won't be back. We'll see. It could be a situation where a drunken UPS guy just falls asleep at the wheel, and I could go, full Tracy, yeah. All right, sorry, Steve.
That's all right, man. I should have had some of that fucking coffee.
Yeah, I'm probably beaked up. All right, the book. Tell us about the book.
The book is about, I'd call it a time capsule, about
July 12th, 1979, right?
Disco Demolition. I guess I was, yeah.
Did you hate disco?
No, I got fired from a radio station because I went disco, so I was just pissed that I lost my job.
Yeah, and
you know what it's like to get fired from the radio station.
Yeah, and replaced by a former.
Wow, unnecessary.
Yeah, uncomfortable. Then
you've landed on your feet. However,
you organized the whole blow up the disco album.
Okay.
Yes.
The poor people sitting in front of him.
Tell us the story.
Well, actually. It was, I didn't want to go because the White Sox were drawing like 10,000 people a night, right? So if I,
still are.
Yeah, right back to where we started. So if I draw 10,000 people, that's a shitload of people, right, for a radio promotion?
Sure.
It's still going to be fucking empty.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm going to be wearing an army helmet and an army jacket and look like a fucking moron.
Right.
So I didn't want to go, but so that shows you how prescient I am. And
how many people showed up?
There were like 55,000 inside and another 30,000 outside.
So it was a big... The disco demolition was a big draw. And what did they actually blow all the records up with?
With dynamite.
They were just... They said... I loved it when we were lawless before.
I know. And it was a lot of dynamite, too. I mean, it scared the shit out of me.
In sharp contrast, by the way, to the days, the halcyon days of Steve Dahl blowing up things in a public area in the middle of a ballpark, smash cut to this very afternoon in the Kentucky-Cincinnati airport. Somebody gave me a nice bottle of Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley, the Willamette River in Oregon or whatever.
Yep.
It's a long, long story, but I got recruited to play football at Willamette University or something 200 million years ago. I've never even been there or seen what it looked like. But somebody sent me a really nice bottle. I fucking made the mistake of leaving it in my backpack. I got to the airport, went through security, got pulled out of line, and then had the nice lady pull it out and do the move where she said, I can either chuck it or you can go back to the counter and try to find the checked bag or you can send it UPS. And I just said to her, I would be so happy if you would just take it home.
Right.
Could you? It's a beautiful bottle of wine from the Oregon area. Could you just put it aside? And she's like, I got to chuck it.
Oh.
And I'm like, you don't, can you just fucking take it home and then just drink it? And she's like, no. And I'm like, I don't need it for me. I just, I find a fucking homeless guy. Yeah. Would you find the Uber guy? Find somebody and give, we have, now. Nah, I can't risk it. By the way, when you're working at
risk.
When you're working at the Kentucky airport and you're morbidly obese, there's not a lot to risk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not a lot on the line. It's not like cut the blue wire, cut the red wire. Yeah. This is $12.75 an hour versus disability at home and a nice bottle of Pinot Noir. I didn't get into detail with her like I just did, but no.
You didn't broach this?
No, not this part. But I was like, just please don't throw it away. Can't we have an airport? Like, can't we have a hopper of good shit? Like, does everything just have to go into the fucking crusher and down the drain? Like, can't we use common sense? Yeah. Like, this is a bottle of wine. Can't we put it in an explosive vault for 30 days? And if it doesn't take out the airport, then take it home and enjoy it.
I bet she's home. I bet she took it. And I bet she's in that Uber right now blowing that guy with his seat back.
Oh, boy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Steve, I would sleep like a baby tonight if I thought there was even a 10% chance of that happening.
It has to go back so far because she's so big.
She was a lot of woman. And, you know, normally you think, we used to make fun of the, you know, the mall cop or the big TSA guy was lumbering along. Yeah. And we used to go, oh, Jesus Christ, I'd rather have the guy who could climb the cargo net and could do the mile in under 7 minutes and whatever it is. But thinking about it now, they don't got a gun. They're not doing anything. They're fucking wide as outhouses. That's just something else for me to hide behind.
Yeah.
I mean, if the shit really goes down, I'm just going to tuck myself in a fold.
Bunker down.
Just like peek out, see if the smoke is there. I still hearing shooting? Is that friendly? I would yell out from one of her folds. I'd like lift her panties up. Is that, I'm an American. Does anyone want any Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley? I didn't open it. It was shot off. The top was shot off.
Are you serving cheese in here?
It smells like it. Yeah, I think. If someone could give me a couple of Ritz, I think I could dig some up. Or give me a cracker with a strong spine and a good constitution. Yeah, there'll be more to hide behind. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. What's that guy yelling? All right, do we...
Oh.
Oh, giving you a plug, Steve.
Sorry, man.
Okay.
The poor people sitting in front of him.
All right. The other thing that then pissed me off on the flight, which drives me nuts, which is the... Wait. Hypothetical. I was actually thinking of you, Brian, because I figured you'd disagree with me, but I still want to know.
You're probably wrong about that.
We got... Wait a minute.
But go ahead. Let's hear it out.
All right. So we got the speech on smoking, which is always the same thing. This is a non-smoking flight. Okay. We're done. Are we not done?
Unlike the last 10,000.
Oh, no. Let me now break down all the places and variations of you not smoking into little bite-sized pieces. This is a non-smoking flight. Okay? Good enough. There's no smoking in the bathroom, in the laboratory. There is a smoke detector in the laboratory. You cannot tamper with, disable, or destroy the smoke detector because this is a completely non-smoking flight. The placards will be illuminated. The placards say you must obey the non-smoking. It's just 55 fucking rounds on smoking. But then I start thinking, it always drives me insane. We get it. Non-smoking flight. Tampering with, disabling, destroying. We don't need, you can say tamper with or fuck with or anything. We don't need disabling, destroying. But I thought this. It's a 55-minute flight. I get the cross-country stuff, you know, one's got to move one's bowels. Mm-hmm. Right. But on a 55-minute flight, wouldn't you rather, and I'm saying the time for this reason, there should be no shitting flights, too.
Okay.
It's anything under 2 hours. It's a no-shitting flight. Because as long as you're we're going over instructions about what to do in and out of the bathroom. How about not shitting up the thing that's the size of a fucking small coffin and pressurized? You know what I'm saying? The planes, you know, got 28 seats on it. The bathroom, when I piss, I have to lean forward and put my forehead against the curvature of the outside of the plane. You shit that bathroom up, you're essentially shitting up the entire plane.
Yeah.
And in a 55-minute flight, I think you owe it to all the other passengers to either evacuate the bowels when we're on terra firma or hold them until we land in Chi-Town. And then I pose this hypothetical to all of you. Would you rather walk into said coffin-sized bathroom to use bathroom after somebody had smoked a cigarette or fucking destroyed it with their anus?
Number one. Yeah. Definitely number one.
Those are my only two choices?
Those are your two. Total anal destruction
right.
or secondhand smoke.
You gotta go secondhand smoke.
Yeah, all right. Ooh. If you shit, you have to smoke. That's my new law.
Yeah.
Well, and there have been planes in the news that have been rerouted and turned around because somebody shit up the bathroom. So I think you might be onto something.
Yes, I agree, and I always agree with me.
I know you thought I would disagree. I love this plan. This is a great plan. I would like to see an exemption for like 8 a.m. flights because that means you're getting to the airport at 7. That means you're waking up at 6:15. That means by the time 9 o'clock comes, you hit it for several hours. You hit the Starbucks.
Yeah.
It's set to go off.
All right,
oh,
maybe,
you know yeah, when you buy your ticket, you know, they show the amenities, like little logos, like the little Wi-Fi logo, the little poop emoji. This is a shitting flight.
With a line through it. A turd with a line through it.
With a big thumbs up.
Good news, though, the day was saved when the snack mix showed up. It's so sad when you would literally blow somebody for some Doritos, for some ranch Doritos, for things that are street value is 49 cents, but in the air, it's a miniature part-time prison, right? Yeah. Like, hey, man.
Yeah.
I got some ramen. What do I need to do? You want to take a shower? Gary, show what passes for savory. All right, now hold on.
Say so right there.
These animals have the temerity to label this dried gopher food savory mix. Savory. Savory. Hard, sodium-laden, stale, miniature fucking pretzels. And by the way, pretzels are one of those things as they're like cocks. They get worse as they get smaller. They start off, there's nothing better than the big German cock. You put the brown mustard all over it.
I know where you're
warm.
Going with this.
You ain't just whistling Dixie.
You tear it and there's a little plume of steam that comes off it. You take the bite. Ooh, it's a little hot. Ooh, it's got some rock salt on it. Yeah, I love my cock with rock salt. You dip it in, hit it with a little mustard to even out the temperature of it.
Yep.
Then they get down to those sort of medium ones, size of a playing card, you know. Those are all right. They're a little tough. Then they get into this. I don't know who ever decided that it's like, you know what I really love? I really love pretzels, but this one I get at the ballpark is way too big. It's unwieldy. I could hurt myself with this thing. No, I need ones I could swallow by mistake. They have the fucking temerity to call this savory mix. There was 27 miniature rock-hard shitty pretzels and three little cheese sort of half, you know, the cock with Peyronie's disease or something on it thing and one weird sesame thing that I actually ate before I thought to photograph the thing. This passes as savory. I don't know if anyone can look up savory, but this fucking ain't it. This is the opposite of savory, right?
It seems like they should just put shitty on there.
Yes, shitty mix. Call it what it is.
Shitty.
The only bigger abortion than this in the wording department is the Fiesta mix. There's nothing. There's no Mylar pouch that has less of a party in it than the Fiesta mix. All right, what else? I made notes. Things to complain about.
Speaking of airplane snacks, Adam. Speaking of airplanes.
Oh, here's savory.
Yes.
Full of flavor, delicious and tasty. Usually,
hold on.
Okay.
Full flavored, no. Delicious and tasty. No and no.
That someone has cooked.
No. What?
Someone has cooked it.
Yeah, it needs to be cooked. It needs to be fucking come in a crock pot.
Exactly. Homemade.
They should just sell crock pots with ball bearings in them now, just in advance, like just from the store.
Oh, no.
Save these guys the time. Yeah. The only one who buys crock pots these days are terrorists, right? Yeah. Nobody buys it. My wife's out looking at crock pots, right? Just kicking tires.
I think those are pressure cookers.
Oh, pressure cookers. That's right. Yeah. Oh, you're right. Steve. I knew you were up here for a reason.
Almost destroyed the entire crock pot industry.
What's the difference between a crock pot and a pressure cooker?
Why don't you ask our terrorist friend over
here? Yeah. Oh, that's the galloping gourmet of ISIS over here. Which playing card are you? Steve, if that's your real name.
Khalid Sheikh Steve.
Yeah. What a shrewd move. You come, you embed yourself in a community, and a scant 37 years later, you strike. Once you've won over the hearts and minds of all your Chi-Town constituency, then you make your move.
What's he best known for? Blowing
shit up
with dynamite.
Shit up. That's right.
All right. You caught me.
Or Steve calls it a trial run. Sorry, you're right. Pressure cooker. Crock pot, you get to take the pot, you get to take the lid off, right?
Yeah. For snacks, you know.
Your crock pot's like for what? Chili?
Soups and stews.
Dips. Yeah.
Some kind of a hot dip.
Here's my entire relationship with the crock pot. It's me pulling that huge glass lid off and going, this looks done. And then somebody going, it's like 2 hours away from being done. And I go, smells like it's done. Nah. Now we have to start breaking it down. I put the shank roast in at 3. It looks done. It's only like 4:45. It smells done. Now they say it's an hour for each pound. Yeah, it's 4 pounds. It looks lighter. This part looks done. Can I start dipping shit in this? Just wait till it's done. That's my entire relationship with the crock pot.
And you're like, I grill a burger for 4 minutes on each side.
Yeah, I don't know why this is or what they're dispensing. All right, so where was I? Oh, crock pot.
Speaking of airplane snacks.
Oh, airplane. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, where were
you're
we?
Going over where were we?
Yes, snack. Usually something that has been cooked, usually. Yeah. And something cuisine, yes.
Oh, I like this at the end. The easiest way to remember savory is that it rhymes with flavory.
No. Not at all. All right. Let's see. All right. Should we do? No. We're gonna do a little. What can Adam complain about? I think. Yeah.
And that never before heard episode on the Adam Carolla Show feed, brought to you by Geo. That was live from the Vic in Chicago in 2016.
Yeah, and actually, what's interesting about Steve Dahl is he started a podcast network inspired by Adam Carolla, much like every other podcaster who exists currently. He started it in around circa 2012, and it was after his longtime radio show was ending in Chicago. He's like a Midwest radio legend, Chicago specifically. And I didn't really know anything about him until he started his network. And I believe Adam was interviewed by him on his network. And I thought I signed up for the premium. I remember getting the file, or maybe he just talked about Adam. I wasn't able to find it in time. Not that we can play it anyway. I was just going to go back to jog some memories of that time. And he spoke with Steve about Disco Demolition, I believe, back then. And then he did again, of course, on this live show. And then talked about it before that live show on that episode with Moz. So there's a little bit of a history lesson of Steve Dahl and Adam Carolla.
There you go. All right, before we get going with our final clip, I want to remind everybody about 1-800-Flowers.com. All right, because Valentine's Day is coming up. You want that perfect bouquet. And it pays to plan ahead with 1-800-Flowers.com. And don't wait to wow. And we got an amazing offer for you guys. You get 24 multicolored roses for $29.99. or you can upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more. These things look beautiful. They sent a few bouquets over to the studio, and they make our studio look mighty nice. All roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak. They're cared for at every step and shipped fresh to ensure the lasting beauty. So think ahead this year. 24 multicolored roses for $29.99, or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Bouquet prices will be going up soon, so take advantage today. Tell them, Gio.
To order 24 multicolored roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Corolla Classics. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Corolla Classics. Hurry, offer expires Friday.
See that? We got you guys. All right. We got another clip. This one from 2014. And this one's going to feature Brian giving a five-year health update.
Adam Carolla Show 1431 featuring David Cho, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. October 2014, Brian gives his five-year health update. And we get a little bit of the first half of the show. The rest of that I'll be playing tomorrow on the Carolla Classics feed. Till then, check this out.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, artist David Cho, plus Allison Rosen on news, and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, still hungover from his annual Canadian Thanksgiving bender, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thanks for spreading the good word, man. Thanks for doing all the things you've done over the last few years that enable us to continue doing this. I'd say the number one thing is just getting the word out, sharing it with a friend. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. I'm sure you have, but I was doing Catch a Contractor last week. That part maybe you didn't, but standing in the parking lot of a Starbucks in Huntington Beach, and a guy just pulled up in his car. He's like, hey, I'm listening. Listen to you right now.
Get that a lot. I do get that once in a while. I was in Bay City, the great Italian deli that has the sandwiches in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting in line. You wait at the counter, like a normal deli.
Right.
Wait there for the counter, and guy looks at me, looks again, he has headphones in, holds up his phone, just shows Adam Carolla shows. Listening right now.
It's nice. Allison Rosen?
I feel like I haven't had that one exactly.
At Bay City?
No.
Getting a sub.
Other sandwich joints?
I was at Primanti's.
Okay. Primanti's.
Right? Primanti's. Well, I was at Primanti's. It's a different one. It's confusing when people head to the wrong one, but.
Shut up.
You ever had the person come up who does the I'm a fan? Well, not like they were. I've had the mid-listen person all the time, or a few times, but I've had the person that held up their phone and went, I have them all on the phone. Not run into that person?
I feel like I have. That one's not jumping out to me. What I have is I'll get out of my car and there'll be someone standing there who saw me pull into the lot and just had to wait to say hi. I'm like, fuck, what did I do while I sat there in my car?
That's sexually motivated. That doesn't have to do with the show.
Late at night under a well-lit sign.
That's right. All right. And good day, Bald Brian.
Hey, hey, hey.
Normally, I take the top drops with the hashtag top drop on Twitter, but that's from a listener named Josh who emailed me a month ago exactly today and was like, my girlfriend, Teresa, just got diagnosed with a brain tumor. She's going for surgery tomorrow. And he emailed me yesterday with an update. A lot of times people update me and they're just, here's what happened. And he said she had a 9-hour surgery. They got 95% of the tumor. And recovery's been slow. The left side of her body was paralyzed, but they expect it to come back, and she's working hard and got a lot of inspiration from the book, and she loves the show and everything, and her favorite drop is this.
Hey, hey, hey.
So that's her top drop today.
So nice of you. So we're
emailed back and said, please lose this email.
We were talking last week about getting an update from you medically. Mm-hmm. For those who may be newer listeners, why don't you give the whole sort of thumbnail sketch.
Yeah, it's chapter 3 in the book. I was diagnosed with a brain tumor 2009, early 2009.
Wait, you wrote a book?
I did. It was a mildly successful book, and it's about the first year with the brain tumor, and just celebrated 5 years since my diagnosis, which is a big year in the cancer community. So I'm
five is the big one.
Five is if you're past 5 years, it's a good sign. It's a really solid thing.
Mm-hmm.
Allison probably knows from your history, not yourself, but people you know.
Yes. Well, the whole thing, my understanding of cancer is the whole thing is just get as much time as you can, mm-hmm. because with all the research and everything, just the longer you stay alive, the longer you can stay alive.
And I was initially given 6 months, you know, to a year, literally the first doctor I saw. So it was looking pretty bleak at the time. And just powered through, man. Just, you know, very fortunate.
When is your next MRI or whatever procedure you're going to get?
I get MRIs every 3 months. I just had one last month, and it looks great. The doctor compares it to, you know, the last MRI, to a year ago's MRI, to 4 year ago MRI, and it looks great. You know, tumor hasn't moved in a couple years. It's the same size, which is a victory in the cancer world. And I get this every 3 months just to sort of check up and see how I'm doing. And I get,
well, it's inoperable, so if it starts growing, that's big trouble.
Yes.
So the idea is to keep it from not growing.
Correct. If they can keep it at bay, keep it literally the same size forever, I'll live hopefully for many, many years, knock on wood.
Right.
You know, it's something you can live with if it doesn't move.
Hasn't been moving. Why mainly, do you think?
I think the main reason is because of the drug they put me on, Avastin. You know, some people respond to it really well. Some people respond to it mildly well, and some people don't respond to it at all. And I happen to fall in the first group that responds to it really well. And they put me on it about 6 months after I was diagnosed. When I was doing, you remember how bad I was doing? I was coming in here on a walker, and you know, right. I was slurring my words pretty badly. Old listeners of the podcast will know. Because my, you know, muscles in my tongue and my lips were going numb. It was worse than it is now.
Yeah, and Matt and Dawson Allison want to cut you loose, but I said, come on, give the kid a break.
That's really nice.
And whoever else is in the building. Kalen was in high school, but yeah. He sent me an email saying, I know you don't know me.
But I have strong opinions.
Cut that drunk guy loose.
On your show.
He's holding you back. But I said no. But anyway.
It's really nice.
Go ahead.
I was put on this drug that really turned the corner for me. I mean, a lot of other things I think as well, but this is, you know, did at least half the work.
And this was an experimental drug that was for something else, but turned out to be effective in this world because... The old school guys like Drew and Bruce said they don't have anything for those kind of tumors. Mm-hmm. And if you can't operate on them and they're growing, there's really not much you can do.
And at the time, they were right. Because this was a new drug. You're right. It wasn't experimental, but it had just been approved within a month or so of me getting diagnosed. So it was only on the market for a couple months when I was put on it. So it was a real like, let's hope this works because nothing else has worked so far.
If you had gone to a different doctor, would your outcome be different, do you think?
It's a really good question. I think it would have because my doctor is he's aggressive but not reckless. You know what I mean? Like I feel like he's as I mentioned in the book, I liked him because he was not a can-do guy, but he was a this can be done and here's how we're going to try to do it. You know, in contracting, in auto mechanics, all you want is someone to say. In healthcare, your doctors, all you want is someone to say, we can do this and here's how we can do it. It's not for sure going to get done, but if it's going to get done, this is how it's going to get done.
I don't know why more people don't adopt that versus the manage everyone's expectations. Like, I mean, this is literally life or death, but there's attorneys, there's contractors, there's mechanics, like you said, there's everyone you deal with in life, and it's so you feel so much better when they go, well, your transmission is shot, but you know what, I've seen worse, we'll take care of it,
we can do this,
it won't
this
be free, but it's going to be done and we'll be done right, like just whatever, if it's your kitchen
like you're in the right hands,
or
yeah.
a lawsuit or your brain or whatever it is, it's just nice to have. I feel like there's so many people whose default setting is manage expectations, so we don't build them up and then turns out we can't fix it or we lose or whatever it is. So they give you I've had it. I had my last movie, the guy who repped it, just sort of the first thing out of the gate was, you got a tweener. Mm. It's a tweener. Like, it's like, don't expect too much. And don't worry, he didn't deliver, but it's weird.
Don't worry.
It's weird how far it goes and how we're so all insanely attracted to the person that says, wow, this is great. I'm going to make this happen. Even if they don't make it happen, I still think we're much more attracted to that person. Yeah.
Especially when you're scared.
As long as their perception was that they tried.
Yeah.
Like they gave it they did what they could do. They felt great about it. And if it didn't work out, it's because of the others, not themselves.
Yeah.
And it's why I always feel like, first off, I feel like those guys get laid 10 times more. Like you find the guy that sort of looks like Jack Black but is buried pussy all the time. Mm-hmm. Those are those guys who do that. We're all male and female, just like insanely attracted to people who go, we're going to take care of this. We're going to do it.
I suck my doctor's dick.
Yeah.
I mean, it was justified after he saved my life.
I'm saying I don't know why there's I know everything is manage expectation because you're going to get sued. Like if you tell
right,
somebody,
you
don't
promise.
Worry, I'm going to handle this, and you don't handle it. Thing. Now there's just a lawsuit. So everyone's first blush or first mode is just that kind of keep your fingers crossed, but don't plan on anything. Don't start cashing those checks yet.
A weird thing dealing with healthcare, and this would more be a question I think for Brian's loved one, but. In those touch and go moments, what you're really wondering is the person going to make it? And they somehow make you feel like that's a completely inappropriate question. When how could you have any other?
Yeah,
I mean, you have a
the
million.
Question.
Right, it's the question, but they won't ever answer that. They'll just be like, we're doing it step by step, taking it one day at a time, doing everything we can. And well, it's just weird how you begin to feel so disenfranchised from even having a right to know things that you would naturally wonder about.
What would be the great harm, really, much like you do with kids and Christmas and their pets and blah, blah, blah? What would be the great harm in saying to the family, like, we're optimistic? You know, don't go home and sob yourself to sleep. You know, we feel like we can beat this one.
Yeah.
We're feeling good about it,
yeah.
You know? And then 6 months later, you get the phone call that goes, you know, come in and make your peace because he's gone.
Yeah.
All right, but at least you had that 6 months of feeling optimistic versus the hand-wringing and the crying yourself
dread.
To sleep. Yeah, and then, look, either way, you have a dead son or a dead whomever your relationship is. One, at least you cobble together 6 months of hopefulness. I don't feel like... I know people saying it's like, well, I don't want to build the person up only to have them disappointed. I don't feel it that way.
And then disappoint them.
Right. Yeah. I want 6 months of agony, and then they bury the kid.
There's many ways to say the same thing. You could say, they could have said to me, well, you know, only one patient out of five lives past 3 years. That's one way to say it, and that would have been accurate. Another way to say it is, I've seen people do very well. We've had patients who have done very well with this. There's a fighting chance. There's ways of saying the same thing in many very different ways.
I agree, and I just feel like we, as a society, we need a little tune-up on the EQ part of life. You know, where you're the way you express these things to people,
that emotional
quotient or whatever it is. Yeah, it's the part where people come up to you and go, you know, love the podcast, not as much as the old radio show, but I still like the, you know.
Oh,
this,
I get people, yeah.
That part of life.
I didn't like you when you started, but I've really come around.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And even that's not even as bad as a lot of it can
yeah.
get.
Yeah.
That's a rosy version.
Yeah. Yeah. But people need that, right?
I agree.
Okay.
But to finish answering your question, you know, when I was first put on this newer drug called Avastin, I was getting infusions, you know, IV infusions once every 2 weeks. It was a let's get it in as
passion
fast
fruit.
As you can. That's right. It was very tolerable, actually. No, of course not. I went.
The Avastin is the last substance known to man that's not been
not
infused.
Flavors. They'll get
with
there.
Passion fruit.
They'll
oh, they're
there.
Fucking. It's on the top of the fucking list. Big passion, right on the top of that fucking dry erase board. It's got.
Bullseye.
Why not? They permeated the fucking yogurt and the hand soap and all the things I used to.
Medicines.
They're in the dental world.
I used to make fun of. I have important thoughts. So hold that.
Yeah, yeah. All my life and death stuff.
When I used to do my 25 minutes on passion fruit iced tea back in 1999, I would say, why do we want passion fruit iced tea? There's no passion fruit soap. There's no passion fruit yogurt. There's no passion fruit ice cream.
Wow.
There's no passion fruit anything. Why the fuck do we want? Who comes in with a craving for passion fruit? Because no one's ever tasted passion fruit. And you blink your eyes and someone tweets me every day. It's literally in doggy treats and shampoo and in contact lenses. Like, it's fucking every... It's in everything now. Didn't exist 10 years ago. When all the examples...
Later.
Yes, all the examples of the stuff I used to say it's not in, like yogurt, it's
now,
in.
It's now permeated.
What does anyone want that in their yogurt? Doesn't that just taste like red and sweet?
Yeah. Just generically sugary.
Semi-tropical.
All right, why don't you just get lemon instead or some flavor that you could
identify.
Sort of... Yes, you got to identify. All right, so anyway.
So I started getting the not passion fruit of Aston, the original flavor, every 2 weeks. And I got it via IV, you know, infusion. And I started doing well or responding to the treatment, and they eventually dropped me down to once a month. And then they eventually dropped me down to once every 6 weeks. And I'm now getting it once every 8 weeks, which is great news because the more time you put between your infusions, the better you're doing, frankly. And I'm tolerating it really well. I'm very fortunate in that respect. I'm very aware of how lucky I am that I'm one of these people who responds to it well. I tolerate it well. And there's even talk there like, oh, soon we're going to get you down to every 6 months, which is, would be huge.
Would they even have this treatment 5 years, not ago, but 5 years before you'd received it?
Oh, no. They wouldn't have had it 5 months before I was diagnosed. I mean, it was really around the time I was diagnosed that it was cleared for market. I may have been an experimental, you know, trial study, but that's you know, you could have been the placebo group. So, you know, that's not a treatment.
Yeah. All right.
But there's, a, you know, the doctor, like, bringing it back to the doctor with the good attitude. I love my doctor because every third time I go in, I'm like, hey, doc, what's new out there in the world of brain tumor treatment? What are we looking at? What's on the horizon? He's like, oh, man, there's so much good stuff. We're doing a trial now, which you might be a good candidate for because this is a new thing where we do this. And it's, you know, it's you know, they take this out and they do this and it's all sorts of medical stuff. But he's like, there are lots of cool stuff. And it just gives you hope for the future. You know, it's just a very cool thing to hear your doctor say is that he's hopeful.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Look. I want that out of the doctor. I want it out of the fucking gardener, too.
Yes.
Like, just
can
everybody
do
goes, you'll take care of that. Done and done. It's nice.
Mm. And if it's a tall order, say, all right, I think we have a plan. This is how we're going to try and do this.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you'd like to, fuck Big Pharma, by the way.
It's a part, yeah, it's a hell of them.
Talk about.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Portland and Seattle doing some live shows coming up. You can go online and check out when we're coming to a town near you. Me doing some stand-up in Sacramento. You can go online, once again, AdamCarolla.com. And you can go to Carolla Drinks. Get the three-pack, man. The red, white, and brosé. Good for the tailgate, the parties, football season. Change it up this year. Shipping included now. So take care of that. Get the three-pack. And we got the new twist top and all the good stuff. So, let's see. We got a couple of phone calls. Our guests will be here soon enough. Let's see. Paid subscription on a podcast. All right. That's a good question at the top. Matt? Let's see. Matt, 45, St. Louis. What's going on, Matt?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Bald, congrats on 5 years, man. I'm 9 years in, and that's great to hear.
I get so many people there at live shows or emailing or tweeting or whatever saying, hey, I've gone through the same thing or I'm about to go through this. Thanks for telling your story. So
he's in prison for spousal abuse.
That's what I meant. You didn't. It wasn't clear?
I thought you thought he was
a
survivor of cancer.
No, I knew. What are you talking about?
You got to read the screen.
Good for you, Matt.
All right. What's going on, Matt? Well, 9 years into what cancer?
Testicular.
Oh.
Cyclops.
Wow. Oh, so they removed one, huh?
They did. They offered me a freebie prosthetic. I declined. Just wanted to hang like a bowling ball.
Yeah. The nudicle, the ham for dogs.
Fondly, I like that one.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, Molly's a girl, so never mind.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, you know, you're a guy that does the math every day. You just slay the patent troll. It costs you a big chunk of change. You know you've got the content that's second to none on the net as far as podcast goes. How come you're not doing the math and monetizing your podcast? You know you have legions of fans out there that would, if you said, you know, PayPal's not optional, now you're going to have to give me $10 a month. You know, I think you'd have a lot. You could blow away your ad revenues. You could get off the road. I know it's gone through your head. How come you haven't done it?
Well, honestly, I come from a background in radio, and I've always just thought in terms of following the radio format, which is build an audience and sell commercial space. But I have thought about, I have thought about some sort of premium subscription thing or something like that. And I've been thinking about it a little bit. I don't think it would be about making this show a subscription, but it might be about some additional
archives or something.
Well, maybe, let's say, I was thinking about, and you guys can tweet me and tell me, but I've been really thinking a lot about motivational stuff and about how people sort of dig motivational stuff, and also how there's a sort of tangible, there's almost a straight line you can draw through motivational stuff. Like, this show's entertaining and maybe once in a while motivational, but good pieces of information with people who are good at what they do and good in business and so on and so forth can translate into you doing quite well, making more money in whatever it is you're doing. Thus, you could justify $6 a month subscription to something that theoretically made you $100 a month or whatever it is. Right. So I've sort of been thinking about doing some sort of motivational thing that was a sort of subscription thing that didn't include this. So basically, like, if you want to do this, you can do this. This will be free. But if you'd like to subscribe to that, we'll do that. I've been giving it some thought. But really, what's been going on is I've been so busy, and the Catch a Contractor stuff and everything like that, I'm just about wrapped up with that. And when these two movies, and, you know, you're doing these ADR sessions, and it's like you're looking at all this post stuff. It's crazy what they do in post now and how much is involved. Everything from your logo needs to be illustrated to, we got the picture of Cranston, but we got to get the picture of your kids and slug them together, and you got to look at the opening credits. And it really, doing a movie sort of never ends in that, until it ends. Mm-hmm. But when it's going, it's ongoing. It's a whole bunch of pre and then a whole bunch of shooting, and then the post just turns into its own animal as
publicity,
well.
Publicity, promotional.
And it's like, oh, we're trying to get the Newman doc into Sundance. You got to get it on Blu-ray, and then you send them. And just when you finish one part, the next part opens
There's
up.
There's no definitive end and beginning to parts.
Wrangling right. Jules Dash is difficult, I
imagine.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
good
right.
luck.
Yeah, you got to go scarf shopping with Jules Dash. So, Matt, we'll put it out to the Twitter sphere, see what people think. And, probably do something of that nature that's like a little bit of a premium subscription. But, and I agree with you, Matt. Yes.
I think the riffs you do off the top of your head during the daily podcast versus if you went into the booth and tried to think of something motivational and charge for that, I think everyone would prefer the daily stuff, especially when you bounce stuff off Allison and Bald. You know, I just think, you know, how many downloads did you get last month? You know, a million, something like that, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this wouldn't be go into the booth and record read a motivational book out loud. This would be a one-on-one, maybe a couple times a week, with guys that were like industry guys. Or not
like successful people, not like guys.
Yeah, right.
People who've achieved stuff.
Losers and tumors and stuff like that, yeah. Think buoys, not anchors. You know what I mean?
What if you want to do an episode about losers and tumors?
Well, then we'd have you guys could pop up. No, but, you know, like finding like...
Like Tony Robbins.
Yeah, finding a guy girl or somebody who started anyone named Tony. Someone who started a business and just kind of going through it with them and finding out how they did it or whatever it was. I haven't really thought it out too much, but I've always thought maybe something in... This show will be free, but a sort of premium subscription if you want some more, whatever. And I thought motivation would be the theme, not versus comedy jokes and news, whatever's going on. That feels like a daily show. This would be something that would be different.
This show is like that Bible the Gideons give away in a hotel room.
I don't know what. Something nice is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Here's your title. Get off your ace.
I like that.
That's motivational.
I already sort of came up with grab a knee.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're not going to go with get off your ace.
But I don't know yet. As I get older and as I...
No, grab a knee is good.
As I raise my kids, I start thinking more about motivation and or just what... How do you get whomever to do whatever, whether it's macro or micro, like how is that? That's all you really do when you have kids. You just go, how do I get you to do this without you hating me and without you hating what it is I'm asking you to do?
Have you figured it out?
No. Mm-hmm. Nobody's figured it out. But for $6 a month, we could try.
We'll get together.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. We love it.
Thanks, Matt. All right. Let's see. I don't know what that is. Pink Floyd. All right. That's a good question. Let's see. Somebody wants to know what I think about Pink Floyd. Hey, Michael.
Adam, it's a pleasure to hear you, your voice, man.
It's great to speak to you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Allison Bald, great to hear from you guys, too.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I've heard you talk about musicians. I've heard you talk about, you know, who's up there on the pedestal. But I haven't heard you talk about Pink Floyd. I was just wondering, where are they in the track of your mixtape of life?
Well, they're not on it. Mm-hmm. My problem with Pink Floyd, while I appreciate them as artists, I am a bit of a lightweight, and I like a hook. I like a song with a hook. Mm. I don't care if it's 8 minutes long. I just need a little hook to it, a little pop hook. Pink Floyd's not that band. When I was in high school or in the ninth grade, I think like the Wall came out and everyone was making a big deal about it and everything. And I've always liked like Comfortably Numb, mm-hmm. but I never got right. the. Wait, first off, they sing Money, right?
Yeah.
I hate that song. God, do I hate that song.
That was maybe the only
angers
part.
Me. That was maybe... If you want to see Lynette angry, put the Pink Floyd song Money on.
Yeah.
All songs about money suck. The
Rush, Big Money sucks.
All money.
Is there any good money song? Ooh, sure, it's hard for the money. That's okay.
Yeah, even that'll grind you down eventually.
That's maybe the only part of the movie Print the Legend that I didn't like when they were doing how they raised all their Kickstarter money and they played this song. It's like, oh, you played this song, huh? It's about money. It's a sequence about money.
Yeah, it's a little on the nose. Yeah, it's
a bit on the nose.
Not finger popping music. I want something that's got a little drive to it, you know.
Like Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Yes, something that's got some yodeling.
Groove.
You're a yodeler. You're a yodeler.
It's like
okay.
Pink Floyd for me has always been that band where I've went, wow, those guys are really interesting artists. What's next?
Pink Floyd makes me feel cold and sad.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Them.
That's the plan. It seems to be the plan. I never got all the sort of weird pigs and stuff, mm-hmm. and the, you know, how are we going to feed these kids pudding without, you have to eat your meat without your pudding? You know, it's like, all right. This weird, scary English people mm-hmm. yelling stuff at us, you know? And look, you take someone, now, weird, scary in English, well, you have Jethro Tull, but Jethro Tull songs right. moved. Like, they moved along. Mm-hmm. The Pink Floyd stuff seemed to be stuff that if you're rolling on some mushrooms, mm. you could really just sit back and listen to. Actually, Brian's right without knowing it, and that it's more, it is more film score music than road trip music.
Mm. Right. I mean, Dark Side of the Moon, basically, just if you have to listen to the entire album there, just to kind of, and it does get you into it. Yeah, it's kind of like a score. It kind of follows a sort of, like, a flow. It's like
all
a
right,
flow
but, you know, here's my feeling. I don't want to go to a restaurant where someone says you have to eat everything on the menu in order to enjoy it and understand it. I'm like, how about I just get some mac and cheese? Well, that's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. Not on its own.
Mm-mm.
But if you order everything on the menu, then it'll make sense.
And if you eat it while watching the beginning of Wizard of Oz.
Right, then it'll make sense. Yeah. It'll line up perfectly. And my thing is, like, I don't know, just give me something I can enjoy a la carte.
Pink Floyd's like a band or like a football team that has like some good plays, but then they'll have like a bunch of holding penalties in between all those plays, and they can't get a drive together.
Well,
it's like, that was a good play, and they just committed a holding penalty.
I think they're good if you're in the right state. Like, if you're in the right stage of life,
right.
if
yes.
you're high enough or angry enough or disenfranchised enough or whatever enough.
I actually have the same feeling about Radiohead that I have about Pink Floyd, which is that
right.
I recognize how good they are, but the feeling inside is one of just cold, melancholy sadness that I don't want to feel.
Right, right. Yeah, and again, good for a movie, but not mm-hmm. to sit around
too
and listen
evocative.
To. Yes. All right, but we can agree, like, I do, you know, I always want to make sure that people understand this. I look at Yoko as a complete waste. Mm. I don't look at Pink Floyd as that at all. Mm-hmm. I look at them as genuine artists who mastered their musicians, their instruments, and have gobs of talent that I'm not interested in.
Right.
but let's not lump them in with the fucking hacks. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
By any stretch of imagination. And
yeah,
people
really
do
good.
That.
Just not your cup of tea.
Yeah, man, I think that's fine. Like, it's almost like seeing a guy who's a great athlete in a sport that just doesn't interest you, but you can appreciate how good that person might be at that sport or whatever, architecture, right. Painting, whatever. You just go, that person's a very talented person. That's not my bag.
Or like how you might not be sexually attracted to Annie Lennox, but you think she should breed anyway because of her bone structure.
Yes.
Wow.
That's right. That's a very good point.
Very good.
I'm not attracted to her at all, but she's very attractive. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
She's striking.
She's striking.
Right? Or at least a young Annie Lennox.
Well, there's not... Tell me if there's anyone who's better looking that most of America doesn't want to have sex with.
Mm. Ooh, that's good.
I don't think...
A sexless, sexy person.
I don't think you're going to find... You know, we were talking about this the other night off the podcast, but like Annie Lennox in her prime, much better looking than Miley Cyrus. But yet many more people rather have sex with Miley Cyrus than Annie Lennox.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
For
I
sure.
think it's right. It's that striking versus attainable thing.
Yeah, or it's not even necessarily attainable. It's a sort of a sexy in your face versus a weird cold sort of
marble
brooding sexuality. I don't know whoever, I don't know how any of that works, but she is easily the best looking person that nobody wants to have sex with.
Ooh, where does Nicole Kidman rate?
She's up there.
In terms of people who don't want to have sex with her?
Yes.
But attractive?
In terms of, remember the in her prime discussion, Matt?
That's her tomorrow.
By that now. Well, it'd be the next day if we take when people hear this. Yeah, and I know there's probably no color pictures of her that exist, not on the alternate.
No, she wasn't part of the MTV generation.
Yeah, there she
there
is.
We go.
Yeah,
striking.
Just like David Bowie.
Yep. Nicole Kidman is a fine example of do not want to have sex with her, but yet fantastic looking.
Kate Moss.
Yep, she's up there in the, I would...
Fantastic looking, but not sexy, I guess you would say?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we can try to break it down all day long.
Posh Spice?
But, yeah.
Victoria Beckham?
Yeah.
They're all British women.
Victoria Beckham, once from Australia, I think, isn't she?
Oh, Nicole Kidman is Australian.
I didn't...
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, yes. Beckham's that way, too. I feel exactly... way with Posh. Like, just, okay, just because you're tan and skinny doesn't, there's just, yeah, I'd like to get a, what, so far I've agreed with all these. So
I don't think Paris Hilton's in that top 10, but she might be number 11
she's
or 12.
Up there. Yeah. There's something.
Grace Jones.
But she's a scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrifying.
But that'd be just like your dick would plant itself in your asshole, like an ostrich. You know what I mean? Like, no way. And you'd have to talk your dick out of your ass. Come on, we're going in.
Come
no.
On.
No.
You can do this. I've seen you do this.
You bust your own behind.
Yeah. I saw that Bond movie. No fucking way. Yeah, she scares me. And by the way, all you got to do is see if you can look as good as Dolph Lundgren did when he was banging her. It's not going to work. You know what I mean? You want Dolph. You don't want Dolph sloppy seconds either.
No,
that's not going to be a good day for you.
Glenn Close?
Brigitte Nielsen? Although in her prime, she was pretty...
Yeah.
I think what we know about her now affects how we think about her then.
She does, yeah. But Glenn Close, right up there with the...
So these are all masculine-looking women, basically. Not Nicole Kidman,
though. But it's sort of just great lines, but there's something missing where you just want... You just want to say, look, you must breed, just not with me. Mm.
Right, like I'd rather sleep with a Lhasa Apso than a Weimaraner.
Stop it.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver?
Ooh.
It's tough because, and you're right. In you know, circa Ghostbusters, when she got kind of dolled up, you know, but there's, I think there's an element. I think there's a few things working here, all right? Here's what I think we can agree on. We can agree on... A cup, B cup, sort of sharp edges. A lot of elbows and knees. You know what I mean?
Could go without a bra, no one would.
Right. Tall, angular, and a little bit intimidating. Like, no might not mean no halfway into this. And that's on my end. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, they could overpower you.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We've worked it out. You guys can tweet us some of these. We'll see. Now, we'll see if we agree.
Yes.
And we can work on who the opposite of this is as well. And to me, it's like, who were you talking about the other night? Miley Cyrus and...
Well, yes means yes. Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes is the antithesis of this, which is a lot of guys found her hot. And I did not. I find Annie Lennox is much more striking than Amanda Bynes, but Amanda Bynes might get the nod in the sex department.
I'm with you.
But you guys, what you guys like Hillary Duff, a young Hillary Duff?
Yes, yes, we do.
Okay,
don't dislike her.
That's right. All right,
but not Mandy Moore.
No,
no, no, no, no, no, no problem, Mandy Moore.
We don't not like Mandy Moore. We wouldn't not fuck Mandy Moore. Michael,
you hear that, Mandy?
Yeah, Adam.
All right, you good?
I am good, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Let's see. Our guest is here, so let's power along here. Is it Audrey, 22, Coachella Valley?
Yes.
What's going on?
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Doing well.
Well, I have a situation, and I wanted to see what would Adam do.
All right.
I'm 22. I've been with my husband for 8 years and 2 months. We've been married for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a daughter. She's 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good job. We own our own house. We own 3 cars. We have everything going well for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had baby fever for a while, and then I realized I'm young. I need
Did
to
you say boogie myself, fever or baby fever? I wasn't listening.
Oh, yet. Baby fever.
Mm-hmm. Now you don't.
Yeah, I was considering having a second child, and then I realized, well, I need to work on myself. I'm still young. I need to have a good time, things like that. So I started working out. I lost a lot of weight. I have, you know, a lot of good things going for me at work and starting to make really good friends out here since I have no family here except for in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, now that I lost all this weight, he wants another baby and I don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you're 20.
I'm wondering.
You're 22. And he's, he's that age as well?
He's actually 26.
Okay, and is it the kind of thing where he wants a boy?
Well, he doesn't care what the gender is. He just thinks it'd be nice for my daughter to have somebody to play with since we live so far. We live about 45 minutes away from his family, so we're by ourselves when we bought our house.
Get her one of those tablets, you know, that Apple makes.
Baby
app. That's all she needs.
Baby app.
Yeah, I don't know.
Better? Oh, I know you're going to say don't bring more kids. In general, that's not bring more kids in the world.
I don't like
kids. Let's not bring only kids into the world either.
I don't like kids. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is I wonder if he wants a boy. A lot of 26-year-old guys might be thinking that way. But I also do understand the not wanting to have the huge gap between siblings because, I don't know, who... I was just talking about, I think James Baby Doll Dixon, my agent, he has a big gap between his brother and his sister, maybe 10 years or something. So it's not really like having siblings when you have that big gap, you know. I mean, imagine here is somebody, you know, entering high school and you're 6 years old or 5 years old. They want nothing to do with you. It's a weird relationship. There's just someone with zits living in the house with you, you know, that you barely even know, you know. I mean, later on, they can hit you up for money if things go right. But it's kind of weird when there's that big gap. I'm happy that I have twins because they're just right there with each other at the same time doing the same thing, just sort of like literally the same size, eating the same thing, you know, sort of a lot of the same interests and friends and things, you know. It's very convenient for us and but for them as well. So I'm with you, but on the other hand, man, more than 5 years gap wise with the siblings seems tough, right?
It's a tall order.
Yes.
Yeah, so, that's the thing is we've discussed this before, and it's not the gap thing. He actually doesn't want them, like, he doesn't want them too close, but not too far. And with the gender,
he's doing a lot of thinking.
Honestly,
yeah.
He honestly, he doesn't mind. He said that he'd be happy with another girl. So,
what does this have to do with the weight loss, though? Because remember, she didn't, and then now that she's lost weight, he does. What's up with that, I'm wondering?
I don't know. Does he have a little extra weight on him?
That's the thing is, since he's been working graveyard, he has gained a little bit.
And graveyard.
I've gained weight, and I want to lose weight, too. And I'm like, okay, well, go for a run with me. No, I'd rather go for a ride on the quad. Okay, well, I'm going to go run then. So...
for a ride in the quad, the RV, I mean the ATV?
Yeah, we recently got an ATV, so that's his big thing.
This is why you're not supposed to get married when you're 20.
Yeah.
Because the big thing becomes the quad.
I'll take the baby.
All right, put him on the lap. Hey. All right, look, I can't hold the beer and the baby, so I have to tuck the baby in and put the beer between her legs.
I'll swaddle the beer with the baby.
Beer, baby koozie.
That's the thing is, since he's working graveyard, he likes to go out in the morning. And I work a regular 8 to 6.
All right.
So,
Audrey, here's what I can say. Making women do things they don't want to do long term, not great for guys. And he needs to understand that. Whatever it is, you
Health almost dislocated her jaw, nodding.
Baby, anal, what have you. Not, you know, it may be great in the moment, but big picture,
this is why I try to talk Daniel out of compromising about anything. It's better if I'm happy, is what I explain. And it's not going so well when I explain that, but I hope one day he realizes.
Well, bigger picture, yeah, they have the memories of orca whales, and they never let it go, and they end up resenting you, and if you got pregnant when you didn't want to become pregnant, you would resent the shit out of him, and then you'd have someone who resented the shit out of him living with him. But I think here's what I would do. I would work on his weight. I feel like his weight, you losing the weight, he's feeling insecure. He wants to plump you back up.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of stuff going through guys when they're in their 20s. A lot of jealousy, a lot of who you've been talking to, a lot of you're looking good and I'm not looking too good. And don't make me take this ATV and drive it over to that guy's house because I know you've been cheating on me. And a lot of that. So I would say focus on his weight, feeling better about himself and his weight. And then you can get a clear look at the baby picture and it will be unfettered.
Yeah, my advice is go back in time and do everything when you're older.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. One last one, then we'll bring David Cho out. Josh?
Hey, everybody.
37, San Diego?
What's
going on?
So I was wondering if you've heard about the Georgia state passed a law about slowpokes and highway patrol issuing them tickets. I was wondering if you ever saw it in California. Ever see that in California? That would alleviate traffic problems.
Somebody tweeted me today that I think they said that traffic was like costs like $90 billion a year
in America or here.
I think in America. Mm. I mean, in America,
that makes more sense.
Imagine if we had, let's say, 1/10 the interest in traffic as we do in breast cancer. You know what I mean? Just something. Just somebody wanted to do, like, my whole thing, what I don't understand, and it's why I think this government, and California especially, Los Angeles especially, but even just the United States, almost has disdain for its citizens, which is, there is something you can do to help all of us. There's one thing that's, like, universal. Whatever your skin color is and whatever your pay grade is, it's sitting on that fucking freeway just watching your life just go away. Mm. And in terms of...
melt away.
Yeah, just, you know, look, if you guys have invented third-hand smoke, that's bad for you. Sitting in the middle of the 110 freeway, just surrounded by internal combustion vehicles with motorcycles flying past you, inching along at 2 miles an hour, that can't be great for whatever's coming into your lungs as well. It's probably not good for your health. It's certainly not good for your head. It's not good for your pocketbook. Why not address it as the problem that it actually is? Mm. How come there's zero attention given to it? How come every municipal vehicle talks about senior abuse or stopping human trafficking or clicking or ticketing or third-hand smoke or second-hand smoke, like whatever the fuck it is? How come there's no traffic? How come it's a non-conversation when yet, it, in terms of impacting people's lives, mm-hmm. I would say it would be in everyone's top five who lived in a major metropolitan city.
Yeah. And it's not controversial. You can just talk about it like it's the enemy. We all agree.
Yes. Yeah. I know. It's not like, well, you know, these Jews causing all the traffic out there. with their gay friends.
That,
you know,
might,
it's like,
that might get you into trouble.
But it's everyone all the time. Everyone could use this. And like I have to be in Huntington Beach this week for Catch a Contractor. I'm in pre-dread mode. Do you guys know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
That okay. When's the call time? It's 8 a.m. Okay. Jesus. Matt, is there any way to get to Huntington Beach from where I live without going down the 5 and down the 110 and through the...
Yep, helicopter.
No, yeah, helicopter, Mr. Trump. No. So I literally start going into pre-dread the day before. Like, all right, fucking 8 a.m. call time. So what's that mean? What's that going to be, an hour? Hour and 15 minutes? And then, oh, what time's the podcast? Well, that's at 5:30. Okay, so they're going to cut me loose at 4. Okay, so it's going to be about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I'm in fucking pre-bummer mode because of this problem.
And pre-bummer is bummer mode.
Thank you. Put that on a fucking right. highway sign, you dickheads. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, well, we could have never seen this one coming. It's been coming for 30 years. Moving like a fucking glacier, getting worse year after year after year, and yet we do nothing. And I have, okay, so you go, all right, well, we can't put a second story on the 405 or whatever your freeway is. All right, but we can alert people to the fact that it's legal to turn right when it's red. Mm-hmm. Many people are from out of town. For instance, out here and don't know that they have to honk at people all the time. I see guys getting onto the freeway with 4 fucking bald tires and just looking at 4 belts. They're going to blow that tire out. They're going to, at the least, just get stuck in the second lane. That's at the least. Mm-hmm. The worst, the tire's going to blow out and they're going to smack another car. Yeah. And then there are going to be 2 cars sitting there. I mean, all those times.
Or the injury fatality is.
Whatever. Why? Are we so fucking just steeped in everything but this? There, half the cars, in Los Angeles especially, because what we have, here's what we have in Los Angeles. We have no transit. There's no mass transit really to speak of. I mean, nothing that's really
massively underused.
Right. What we do have is a large segment of Los Angeles that must own a car. But they really are not in the position to own a car, financially or otherwise. So what they have is they have a car that's uninsured with 4 bald tires on it and a radiator that's going to give out any fucking second now. And in any other society, they would be on a bus. And that would be good for them and good for me because there'd be one less piece of shit breaking down on the freeway. And for them, it'd be a safer, more economic way that money could be saved, what have you. Not to mention the fact that when they do get pulled over, they don't have insurance, and then they get fucked up, and blah, blah, blah. Or when the tire does blow out, and they do careen into the whatever, and they fucking kill their kids. It is a very solvable problem if in you gave a shit or focused 10 fucking seconds on it, but there's nothing. There's nothing. Mm. There's nothing.
No.
It's just, it doesn't exist. It's just, we all just sit in traffic. It's never a plank in any politician's platform. It's always about, you know, education, kids left behind, there's a lot of hardworking single moms out there. No one ever says anything about fucking traffic. It's weird. I don't know why it's taboo. I understand the, hey, poor people, stop shitting out kids you can't take care of and fucking everything up. That I understand. Let's not get into that. We need to get elected. We don't want to get into that subject. But traffic seems like something we could all get behind. Never discussed. I mean, I had to tell the fucking mayor of Los Angeles, don't need the click it or ticket signs. Could use a pull it over when you get in a minor accident. And he was like, the California Highway Patrol guys and the mayor, first off, it's news to them. It's like, what? I said, they're doing it in Montana. We should do it here. We have slightly more traffic, maybe even double what they have in Bozeman. So maybe we should implement this thing that would alleviate traffic. And he was like, they have in Montana, huh? It's like, really? Really? Why nothing? Why is this zero? Yeah. Why zero effort in this department? And as I've said, it shows a degree of disdain for the citizens because this is something you could do to help out everyone. And you're not doing it, and it would not necessarily under, it wouldn't be a whole bunch of, oh, we need a whole bunch of federal dollars to rebuild this. And no. There's a whole education. There's an approach.
It's kind of a no-brainer.
Yes, nobody knows it's legal to turn right on a red. So we all just sit there bottled up, and then you honk the horn. How much would it cost to educate the populace and that it's legal to turn red? Well, you just fucking treat it like one of your other worthless campaigns. Where's the fucking bumper stickers? Yeah. And again, the, you know, human trafficking or the senior abuse or the click it or ticket. What? Is it putting a dent in any of that shit?
No.
It doesn't do a fucking thing. Just do something that makes some fucking sense, would you please?
Maybe use Georgia's slowpoke law, like Josh brought up. Oh, poor Josh.
Josh got tired. No, here there's
he
no
He went
such,
out to
look,
call his congressman.
All right, I'll put it to you this way. Who here, who amongst us, has gotten a ticket for, I talk to people all the time, illegal tint. They had illegal tint on their window. They had no front license plate. They rolled through a four-way stop sign. They were going 9 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit in a very safe environment. They didn't have their wheels turned in toward the curb on a slight grade, even though the fucking car's an automatic. Who amongst us has not gotten all those tickets? Okay, fine. Now, who's been pulled over for going too slow? Who's received a citation for not turning right when it was red and clear to turn red? Who's been pulled over and said, hey, your front right tire, it's showing you got no tread left on that thing. That's dangerous. That thing could blow out. Who has received a ticket when their car did overheat and they were pulled off by the side of the freeway and the fucking radiator hadn't been flushed out in 5 years and someone went, well, here's a citation because you're not maintaining your vehicle properly. You're putting other people in jeopardy. Who's gotten that ticket?
I'm guessing no one here.
Nobody! Nobody! But the illegal tint... I had a fucking chick I work with who just got the illegal tint fucking ticket or the no front license plate fucking ticket. That goes on all fucking day long. I was driving down to the Man Show, got the no front license plate, pulled over on Vine, taking up a lane. People like slowing down and bottlenecking and having to go around me because I had to, we slowed everyone else's shit down because of no fucking front license plate on a Z car. Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, they showed you.
Oh, God. It's just, it is disdain because what it is, it's this. We can't figure out a way to make money off it, so fuck you guys. We'll focus on the shit we can make money off of, and that'll be no front license plate and illegal tint. All right.
And that'll do it for Corolla Classics. Before we get out of here, gotta remind you guys about Tommy John. All right. Look, men love Tommy John because they keep everything in place, but women love how they make men look good, so it's a win-win. It's 2021. Let's make everyone happy by trading out your cheap underwear that's sliding down and riding up from last year and get some Tommy John. Gio, don't you love Tommy John?
I'm obsessed with them, especially the lounge pants. It's my latest favorite thing they make. Adam's even been talking about them nonstop. They're so comfortable. If you have to record a podcast, you need these lounge pants.
Oh yeah, they're the best podcasting pants in the game. All right, and each of Tommy John's 13 million pairs of underwear sold are covered by a no wedgie guarantee and a best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. That's right, it's Tommy John. Tell him, Gio.
Go to TommyJohn.com/classics and save 15% on your first order. Go right now. Save 15% right now at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's TommyJohn.com/classics to save 15% on your first order. See site for details.
All right, that'll do it for Corolla Classics. I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip or a clip request, email us, classics@adamcorolla.com, or you can find us on Instagram at chrisloxamana1, at Giovanni Giorgio, and slide into our DMs. Let us know what you want to hear, any favorite moments. We want to hear what your favorite moments are, too, and share them with everybody else. So thanks for being a part of this show. We'll see you tomorrow with our special Sunday episode in the Corolla Classics feed. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's super fan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here.
Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.